CliffCentral.com. Welcome to the second in our series of Pure Conversations. The first one featured DJ Fresh, DJ Spoo, Tibo Touch, Robert Marawa, and Trevor Gumby. And we promised then we would do a session with the ladies. And I'm very happy to welcome these four women who are sitting in front of me now. They're all prominent and amazing women in the media, like so many others. And we will be doing another session, and we'll be doing a whole lot more in the next coming weeks and months. So we will feature all those people who we've been asked about on social media. Dineo, we've been speaking about Penny, we've been speaking about Ridi, we've been speaking about Azania, and the list, as you know, goes on and on. Anele. And today, I'm happy to have, for our panel that we promised you all those weeks ago, four amazing women who have all achieved incredible things in the broadcasting and media environment. Each and every one of them is someone that I've looked up to and I've had a lot of time and respect for in their careers. They are, and I can go through these CVs, but we'll be here all night because, honestly, between the four of you, I mean, so see, I tried to put together a little brief CV. There's pages. Each of you's got a page. So let me introduce to those of you who already are aware of the.
I don't know why I'm so quiet. Sorry.
The high caliber.
That's Cooley Roberts.
Yeah. We'll start with you then, Cooley Roberts.
I'm joking. It's just too much sauce.
No, I know. Literally, that was like a Pulukwa thought. She literally just picked that thought out of it. I was like, why am I so quiet?
Look, I was waiting for the intro. Like, that's, you know, that's
You see, so here it is. Respectfully, we'll start with Nomakula Roberts over here.
The 92-year-old.
No, please. Yeah, you know, she said just now, I'll sit here and let the young lady sit over there.
No, you must always look for sympathy.
You didn't say that.
No, you must always look for sympathy.
You did not say that.
No, I did when Alala. Just face. I've been asking people.
She's the youngest lady here.
I've been telling people, I'm unemployed and I'm a freelancer, and they've been saying, you can't say things like that. Don't belittle yourself. You're Cooley Roberts.
You can't. Let me say, anytime anyone's ever said to Cooley Roberts, you can't say something like that, she's printed it or said it. Exactly. So I'm very happy you're here.
Thank
because
you very much
we've had many interesting and funny times together in radio and television.
Yes.
Maschaba, it's a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
Maschaba Ndlovu's here too. She is looking resplendent this evening.
Resplendent,
yeah,
darling.
That's the only word I could find to describe you.
Thank you.
Did I get a compliment?
And we basically had to lay on a red carpet specially for
you. I knew Bonang was coming, so
I had to make sure that I looked resplendent.
I know, there's pressure, right? I mean,
like, definitely.
But what I want to add is that I think a lot of people out there, they assume that, oh no, Ababantu, they know each other. Obviously, some of them, sure, you know each other. Maybe you just don't know me.
We don't really know each other.
But that's the point. That's the point, though. Everyone thinks that just because you're on TV or telly, you know each other, and you know each other. Most of us are strangers.
Isn't this the first time we've all shared a space?
This is exactly. Well, after decades.
I mean, that to me is a special reason to do this. And, yeah. and another reason why I think you all took time out of your busy schedules to be a part of it. Because we're going to hear conversations tonight, like we did with the guys the other night, that people imagine you have.
Yeah.
And that you might never have had.
Yeah.
Unati.
Hello, baby.
How are you, gorgeous?
Well, she's family.
Cliff, how are you?
She's, yeah, I mean, this...
No, my family.
What's going on here?
Why they're trying to own me.
The whole, like, South African nonsense.
I'm sweet and sticky, so they're trying to have me.
Unati obviously has been very, very busy on TV and radio over the years. She's got some amazing stories to tell. We're going to get to those. But you and I have known each other for even longer.
Yeah. I was
like when we were both starting out.
We were one of the first friends I made in Joburg, and I mean friends as in not colleague, not acquaintance, not someone in the industry, friends. And we were actually talking about we had breakfast
that turned into lunch
like 3 weeks ago. That ended up being 5 hours, and that's where we come from, getting drunk with the West Life boys and
we've had some good times.
We've had amazing years together,
and we will talk about those, I'm sure.
I love you.
And then Bonang Mateba.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wow, I'm so pleased we managed to arrange it at a time where you're in the country.
Yes, for one.
Thank you. I literally said to her just now, I want your life. I'm like, you're here, you're in South Africa. Right,
but now, just tell me, because there are a bunch of nicknames going around the room.
Yes.
So there's a nickname that you and Unati have for each other that only you two use.
Yes, only Unati has called me Biza. The very first time she saw me, and I remember, I think it was at Urban Brew Studios when I was still doing live.
I.
Yes.
And she called me Biza and it stuck. She's the only person who uses that name. So every time, I don't hear it anywhere else. People don't call me that because it's a uniquely, you know, Unsta name that was given to me by her. So I really, really love it. So it's called Biza. Biza.
And
Biza.
I get very territorial when I hear other people.
So you
I
are literally Biza look at her.
Tonight. Yeah. I'm Biza.
Tonight. I look at her and I'm like, are you letting other people call you Biza? And she's like, no, don't call me that.
So, okay, first thing I think everybody wants to know to start off is that there's this misconception, two things about women in broadcasting. First of all, that you all hate each other. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what people think. This is what you hear on the street. It's like people think that you're intensely, insanely competitive, even if you're not on the same station, same time slot, you're on different stations at the same time. None of that stuff matters. If you're on TV at the same time, you don't actually know because you're busy recording sometimes when it's live. You don't know what else is on. So let's just sort that one out and we'll get to the next one in a second. But I mean, beef in the industry, is it a thing? And do you think it's a thing that they expect, people think women are more the culprits of? I mean, what goes on?
Well, they're never saying any of that nonsense about men, but they love saying that, they love spreading it about women. And like we said, a lot of us don't even know each other besides, you know, what just transpired. What is the busy nonsense in that corner? So of course there's beef. There's beef. We're humans. We are we're in an industry. Things happen.
Sure.
And what needs to happen is for us to realize that for all of us in this room, especially this has become and is a way of life, and it's begin be happening for the rest of their lives. I mean, they're much younger than I am, so this is like for the next 40 years, so they can either make peace or not make peace. But, you know, these things do happen.
But
it's
I
life.
Mean, does it also make things more interesting if people do?
Well, the point is that, is it true half the time?
That's what I want to know. I
mean, well, most of the time it's not. And people want women to fight. People want Coolie Roberts to be... people want Bonang to parachute down here or to be concorded down here. If she took an Uber, they say, oh no, Uwile, no, leave people alone. You know,
I would like.
They expect too much from celebrities, and they impose their own wants.
Project.
They project.
I'd like to add to what Coolie has just said. For me, I've been inspired a lot by female broadcasters. My biggest inspiration. Has been a woman who wasn't really celebrated in this industry, but she has changed the game. Lerato Mbele.
Mm. Mm.
Lerato Mbele is a woman that I've looked up to.
Mm.
And then along the way,
we're talking beefs. Did you beef
I loved listening to women like Azania.
Mm. Yes.
I enjoyed Bonang when she was on Metro. I enjoyed her so much, and I couldn't understand the reasoning behind the changes. In my mind, I'm like, why are you messing with a working formula? Why?
The guys brought that up a lot. Like we sometimes look at management and their decisions, and we're like, what are you doing when something's when the wheel's working
exactly.
and it ain't broken? Don't try to fix it.
So the whole concept of women not wanting to hear women on the radio is bullshit.
It is.
It really is. You know, also in my experience is what I've found is sometimes the beef or the stories is created by the media. And then you as an individual begin maybe to believe in it. And then sometimes in your own head, you create your own stories.
Yeah.
And then when you see that person, because you read it, you don't know how to act. Is it true? Is it not true?
Yeah.
Did she say this? Did she not say this? Because Coolie is right. Media do want women to bash each other and
they
to
need
go
just,
head to
we
head.
Need sales.
That's how it goes, you know? And when men do it, it's okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Unfortunately, the South African industry is very, very tiny. The beef is there, like it is with any single human being or human beings who live and work together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there, and there's, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't make anything more interesting. It's just life. The only difference is that because you are in entertainment, it is, you know, it's archived, it's documented, and then it's sent out to everybody to participate in it.
And these days, you can't, like, everybody's got a camera, right? And everybody's got something recording somewhere.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be disingenuous about it, then someone's going to find out.
I think, though, when you bring up the word being disingenuous, if we're being genuine, I think it's a reflection of society. I think society enjoys pitting women together. Mm-hmm. Society enjoys you know, the patriarchy and making matriarchy the competitive energy. And it goes back to we love Beyonce and her Flawless song, where Chimamanda comes on and she says, men are raised to be leaders, but women are raised to look up to marriage. I have the benefit as well of comparing things in the music industry.
Yeah.
Mom Letta was always compared to Mom Miriam Makeba. Mm. Sis Brenda was always compared to Sis Mom Yvonne. Mm. So it's always been a reflection of society, but as Monang was saying, heightened by media, because they are the gatekeepers of our narrative. And if they are not checked, then the narrative will continue, which is we find each other, you know, aggressive, or we're insecure around each other. And
when we have enough problems already.
Do you understand? Like, you know, and I think for me that society enjoys that. It enjoys, there are two things society enjoys when it comes to women: pitting us against each other and ageism.
Yeah, woo, woo.
Yeah.
I think
I want to know what you mean by ageism.
Ageism, Coolie Roberts, why are you wearing that? You are 95.
Well, yeah.
That's ageism.
Isn't ageism still the one kind of prejudice people are allowed to get away with?
No,
it's only
but in 2019. Why?
How old are you, Gareth?
No. I'm saying that people try to get away with it. Yes. Like you find less criticism if someone says, "Ah, oh, she's old," or "He's too young," or whatever. Especially when they're comparing people, which they do.
Yeah,
there isn't always a price for that. Like, you can tell if there's straightforward sexism. You can tell if there's racism. You can tell if there's some kind of cultural.
I get ageism every single day.
The reason why Gareth, I was asking how old are you?
No, I'm 42.
Is because I'm 36. I've picked up that ageism is more prominent towards women.
Yes,
no one
yes.
complains about it. Yes. I mean, we have some of the oldest. Fresh is old. But I love Fresh. He's amazing.
I don't know, we're the same age as Fresh.
But he's old.
He's 46. We're 46.
But nobody,
he's good. He's
no
good at what he's doing.
That's the thing.
But they wouldn't give it to a woman.
Yeah.
One ever asks how old DJ Fresh is.
No.
He's just generally
no
so
one cares
because
he's
does.
A man. He's good at what he does.
He's a man.
So good.
Yeah. Exactly. But when it comes to females, I've noticed that ageism really becomes
more completely.
Fresh on the light.
Stop these girls from making fun of me.
He sounds exhausted.
I completely agree with you.
I do think that it's not isolated to just women. Ageism is used across, you know, all genres of women or all professions of women. But I do think that ageism is also used amongst hip hop male artists.
Yeah.
So you'll find it's a conversation I had with Dumi from Dumi and the Volume, and you know, the older rappers, and that
MC
ageism.
Hammerside.
You know what I'm saying? Ageism is rife amongst that specific fraternity in hip hop, but it's very general when it comes to women.
You've all done TV and radio.
Yeah.
You've all been in various forms of media, and I mean, in your case, also singing.
Yeah.
And
magazines, newspapers.
Like, yeah, that counts. Mm. But I'm saying for the visual stuff, it's almost more unbalanced.
Yes.
You know, that women, because you see old men on TV all the time.
All the time. Larry King!
Don't forget weight, then, if you're going to add that as a variable.
Well, tell me.
Because when I was 98 kgs, no one was hiring me.
Really?
No.
Really?
I wasn't getting hired.
When were you 98 kgs?
Okay.
No,
when I gave birth to your niece. when I give birth to your niece.
But the thing is,
it's ageism. It's it's the physical expectation.
It's a physical world. No, you guys.
Constant
everybody's on
perfectionism.
It's what is it? The fourth industrial revolution. It's all on your phones.
I used to revolt against it. You know, I used to rock up in radio. I used to literally rock up with my slippers or onesie.
Yeah, you would.
I was
try.
Revolting.
You would
yeah,
try
I would revolt.
That.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
But now it's multimedia as well.
Well, so they make it for them.
Yeah.
What? How did you know that they were basically not letting you in because of your weight? Because I felt like
I just wasn't getting booked.
I wasn't getting booked because I wasn't giving it up.
Oh, really?
Oh, that comes through as well. I went
so
through
how
that when
you
I
know what it was.
Because you go through the phases. I mean, I entered the industry 20 years ago. So the first two guys leaning back, because you know, it's all my stories.
Yeah.
it was the couch audition. So I just wouldn't get them. And then it was the you need to relax your hair and you need to lose weight. And I was like, I'm over that. Mm. And you need to do this. And I'm like, I'm educated. And then it was, you're just. You don't quite look the way we need you to. And I was like, I'm big.
So you get it. This guy, then you'll get the gig and you're like, you know what, but I've got a degree.
Yeah.
Doesn't that count?
You brought up something, and we'll get back to this because there's a lot of stories, I'm sure. But you mentioned people who'd inspired you.
Yeah.
Mm. So, Bonang, who've you taken inspiration from in your career?
Well, you know, different chapters of my life, different stages of my life. I find somebody new, you know, in the – very, very beginning, I mimicked my career around what Unati has done in Melanie Bala. I started on a music show on a Friday night. She was on Castleite. I was on Live Amp. I then moved on to YFM. She moved on to YFM. And then she moved on to Metro FM. She doesn't know this. I've never told her, actually. I'm telling her for the first time.
You only just found this out now.
I'm speechless. Yeah, and I've always known the love is there, but yeah. I've never known it was this vivid.
Yeah, and then I also moved on to Metro FM. So you, I find somebody every, you know, beginning was Unati. And then in the middle, I found Ryan Seacrest.
Yes.
Where he became a TV presenter.
Yes.
And then he became a radio personality. And then became a
executive
production.
Producer.
Yeah, yeah, an executive producer and started producing reality shows. That's when I said, okay, well, let me start my production company, Bonang Matheb Entertainment, and start doing productions for maybe the SABC. And I did two or three, a red carpet for the SABC one. At,
I remember your first one. It was amazing. You had your own stage.
I
remember your first one.
Those were my first two productions. And, you know, as it goes, and then right now I'm finding a lot of inspiration from Rihanna, you know,
well, you
creating
also,
an umbrella.
I think that it's fair to say, like, I hear you're building a school.
Yes.
So I heard that as well. So there's an Oprah there.
A little bit of inspiration from Oprah.
Yeah. So, you know, you need to know in my industry, what I've done, my approach to entertainment is locally find somebody that's been successful in each and every, you know, industry or kind of aspect you want to succeed in, and then internationally kind of pluck out ideas from them and so on and so forth. But Unati was definitely the template as to how you can be and live successfully both on television and radio. Yeah, for me and my generation.
And you, Cooley?
What was the question again?
No, the inspiration.
Who influenced you?
Well, just being alive inspired me. I wanted to live. I have had so much trauma. It was survival.
Yeah.
It was survival. And I've always loved gossip. So, I mean, my thesis was about Lady Anne Barnard.
Please say that again. Your thesis.
Do you know what I mean? It was all about Lady Anne. My thesis.
Please say it again.
Was about Lady Anne Barnard. I wanted to do journalism since God was a child. I wanted to write. I'm still writing. I've written a book. It's out soon. I can't afford anyone here as an MC. Single grandmother. Think of the blue eyes.
You don't look like anyone's grandmother. Let's
not
just
at
start
all.
There.
So, my love, my interest in people. And so, who inspired me? Everybody inspires me. Everyone's stories inspires me because everyone is just absolutely, absolutely incredible in their own way. Everyone is just like every individual is just incredible. I mean, Bonang is absolutely incredible.
She's
I mean,
insane.
A lot of people say I don't like Bonang. Bonang, how can you not like Bonang? Bonang
Why do
is
people
incredible.
Say She's, you don't like Bonang?
Because they think that that whole projection thing.
Yeah.
That whole projection thing. And also, I mean, also there's a whole like those high cheekbones she must get rid of. And also that.
But means, also, when I started in the industry, Cooley Roberts was one of the most prominent journalists.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right.
See, that's the thing also about Cooley Roberts. It's not.
Oh, we're speaking about ourselves in third person?
It's writing as well.
Yeah.
So is she an enemy or is she a foe?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
So because, you know, Cooley Roberts' job unfortunately forced her to do and write certain things, people don't know how to separate those two.
Are you more grown than me? We've had moments, and we're family.
No, but the thing is, also we're family.
And I was innocent,
and we are family.
And I was innocent.
Oh, she's heard me on the phone.
Call and I was innocent.
She called me. She called me like, okay.
And I was innocent.
And you were.
No, but,
but you're family,
you
and I can take it out to you.
Of course.
You were.
I just want to say, you know, Bonang, I am so proud of what she has done. I'm so proud of what you've done, Ms. Shaba. I'm so proud of what you've done, Unati.
Let's just put this on the table,
yes.
Because I know it's going to be something that otherwise comes up over and over again.
Yes.
Just because you used to put people in your column, and just because you would write something that sometimes wasn't very flattering, which was your job,
yes,
does not mean that you were looking to have fights with everybody.
No,
but the thing is that we're in a society that took it personally.
Yeah.
Can I give you an example to defend you?
Yes.
Can I give her an example? Cooley would write some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
The truth
about you.
About me. Or not me.
Hurtful though.
Married to her brother.
But that's question.
Then we'd have to have Sunday lunch like 2 hours later after I've seen the story. And the first thing she said when I'd walk into her house that I've agreed to go to because I know Cooley. I know her and her 500,000 dogs and my niece and nephew. And she'd be like, there's a guy must say Asmos. And I'd say, Cooley, I hate you. And she'd go, I know, but I've cooked for you. And then like literally we'd break bread. Like that's
apologies.
And you do that very well.
I want to apologize to any of you if I've upset you.
But Unati, you know she's a little bit crazy.
We're all crazy.
We're family. But shut up, William. Pamela, the point is.
The point is that
we are content, or you are content. Yeah. You are content.
Wait a minute.
Because you're, honest, wait, you're the only person I'm willing to forgive in that fraternity.
But here's the thing. But though, also, here's the thing. But, who's that American lady that goes, "How you doing?
What's Wendy, Wendy, Wendy,
Wendy, yeah. Come on, it's your job.
It's your job.
How am I going to say
that? No, but also, guys, also, I want to say that 99% of the time, none of you fucking knows it's me.
Yeah.
So none, and I get blamed. I'm like the face of Shosh. She's like, "What the fuck?
Mm. Yeah.
So I just work there."
In other words, and also sometimes it might have been some other gossip journalist.
Do you know what I mean?
Most of the time it is.
Do you know? 99%.
It's like when Bonang's on TV, and there might be three or four other really talented people doing TV at the same time.
It's only Bonang.
And she's gonna catch all the fire.
Mm. Exactly.
No. Can I tell you the truth? Can I tell you what it's about?
Mm. Tell us.
I've worked. You've worked, we've all worked alongside men.
Mm.
The shit that men get away with, that the shit that you, Gareth, get to say, that males that we've worked alongside get to say, and they don't get called out for, but because you're a woman who has an opinion.
Mm.
I didn't understand patriarchy until I entered commercial radio. And that was the first time I was...
You said Kulu Roberts is crazy. If Kulu Roberts had a dick, was male, you wouldn't be saying that.
Yeah. Oh, I called all of them crazy last time.
No, the point I'm trying to make is that we're supposed to be repressed.
Okay, but must Chaba, hang on. You said something very interesting there. Like, over the period of your career so far, how much has that changed? That women, you know, in the beginning, I'm sure it was a lot worse, where there was just completely no way that a woman who had a brave or bold opinion could say it. Now I think it's almost expected. And it's because of women like you that it's changed.
It hasn't changed.
Sorry.
I mean,
To be honest with you, I've never had the experience. I've shied away from the conversations around patriarchy for a long time because I've never experienced it firsthand. I don't walk into boardrooms with the self concept of being female. Mm. I don't negotiate from the position of being a woman. I've never done that. I was raised by a man. I was raised by men. I was raised by soldiers. But when I entered into the commercial radio space, I for the first time found that women's voices are diminished.
Mm-hmm.
You have to count your words.
Mm-hmm.
You are not allowed to have an opinion. You cannot have a position. You need to get there and be pretty, be cute, and say something funny and speak from an entertainment point of view. You're not allowed to have a stance on things that matter.
Mm.
So for me personally, the reason why I say this is because this is very important. I used to think women were bitching a lot about patriarchy. I used to think women were isolating themselves until I found myself in that position.
2015. I got suspended indefinitely for swearing at someone on a private platform that she screen grabbed and put on a public platform. I swore at her. I had the best time.
She knows.
Yeah, Bona. I want F-bomb.
No, it was hard.
I have never enjoyed swearing so much in my life.
She knows.
It was in private though, G. It was in private, right?
And then
she screen grabs it. She puts it on Twitter.
You got into trouble.
I got suspended for 6 weeks.
A different employer.
I got suspended, for 6 weeks. The same day, Fresh and Euphonic swore at someone on Twitter, on a public platform, and said, "Fuck you." They didn't get suspended. In my disciplinary hearing, 6 weeks later, I say, "But..."
Hello,
hi. I can't even just explain to me. Luba's words, literally. Luba, who was the radio general manager at the time, his words were, "Yeah, but these are men and you're a woman, and women can't behave the way you've been behaving."
But that's how they've been socialized.
He said it to me, Cliff, to my...
That's how they've been socialized. They don't know any better.
Yeah. And Claudia said to me, "I want your job back. Just don't answer." I said, "Okay."
But hang on, because I know you,
I said, okay,
while we're on you also had female bosses who were terrible.
Yes. Look, that was a female boss.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is that it couldn't just be because females have these attitudes and men have these attitudes.
I think we're assuming that females cannot be the patriots of patriarchy.
Yeah.
Females can be the biggest patriots of patriarchy.
Can I give you an analogy of what feminine patriarchy looks like?
Yeah.
I've just created a term. I don't know if it exists. When you get to a funeral, have you guys noticed how when you're in the queue for food, the guy in front of you will get the fattest piece of meat when it's your turn to be dished up. But I'll find that little tiny little piece of meat and you're like, how, mamzo, can I have another one? And she will look at you up and down as if, who the hell do you think you are? But you just, okay, all right,
just
let me keep it moving.
That system going.
So women drive patriarchy, but women complain about patriarchy.
Remember the lady who from Noort, the woman with the short skirt where the men were heckling her acting barbaric like animals? Who do you think was inciting them? Women. Older women.
Really?
Vendors.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure, walking past. Who does she think she is?
All right. Just seeing older women. Do you guys think that you get equal pay?
We don't.
No.
No.
Do we think so?
That was my other example. I was going to give you two because you know all my stories. The other example is I work.
We don't.
I get recruited from YFM. Mm. And the first year they say, we're going to give you a YFM salary. We're just going to stay here just to see how you'll do.
Wow.
So I'm also equally excited to be on national radio.
Yeah.
I'm like, I might. Yeah. I'll keep this for a year.
Yeah.
3 years down the line.
Wow.
My tonet refuses to give me a raise. Refuses. I walk into her office every year during a negotiation. She swings on her wingback chair. She looks at me. She goes, ow, my freak is all. I'm not giving you a raise. For 3 years, I walked out of there. The fourth year, I was like, this isn't. I can't. The fourth year. Now Glenn is earning.
Wow.
Money.
Mawaza. Shankura. The fourth year, eventually, I walked in there because now I'd heard we doubled the numbers since I'd arrived with him.
Wow.
I doubled his numbers. Wow. All that stuff. So I'd had all these numbers now. So by the time I had all these numbers, I literally walked in. She turned around. She went, I said, you, we need HR here. And I literally walked out. I said, you, we need HR here.
Of course, that's crazy.
I know. And it's closer to closer. Now you must understand.
Crazy.
So she's like, Unati, you're paying someone it. And I said, and you've been underpaying me for 3 years. And then I said, we'll have this conversation when HR is back. And literally in the history of Metro FM, I'm the only person who's had an 85% increment. I've had the highest increase in the history of Metro.
Because
they literally said, what do you want? Yeah, they literally said, what do you want? And I said, I want what he wants.
Yeah.
He's getting. I said, I don't know what he's getting, but I want it. And they gave it to me.
My story is very similar. When I was at Power FM, I didn't realize how, at the time, underpaid I was until... and because I was new to radio and I trusted my executives, I was excited and it was a new thing. And I took whatever they gave me. Mm. I just thought maybe there's no money in radio. And then I had a conversation with Eusebius Makaiser.
Mm. Oh, my homie.
He's the first guy. That's my G. He's the first guy to actually avail his time to teach me the radio clock because I was a newbie, right?
Mm. And he hardly knew it.
hey, that's my homie there. What's up, Eusebius? What's up, homie?
At the end of my towards halfway through my time at the station, I actually sat down with him and you know we had a conversation about what we were displeased about, and I asked him a genuinely honest question: how much are you getting paid? Mm. Because one of the problems is that we don't talk to each other about money.
That's
we need to
problem.
Talk to each other. And he told me what he's getting paid, and he said, what are you getting paid? And I told him he could not believe it. He said, Mas Chaba, you are being underpaid. I said, but it's my first time on radio. He said, God damn it, you've been in broadcasting for over a decade.
But the point is also you're good as well.
They came to you. They headhunted you. So whether it's, you know, your first time on the radio, and that's when I fought for my salary and I got it. But obviously, you know, there's something called constructive dismissal, and I was put in a very painful position, and eventually I resigned.
I've experienced it numerous times, ways. What? Yeah, where people, especially men, you know, want to impose their authority or want to
just remind you who you are. Mm. You know, that you are, you can never be bigger than this or be bigger than that. Or we put you here, we can remove you. So be grateful for what you're receiving.
Is it perpetuating what we know as black people because of apartheid? I mean, what's going on? What's
happening? I don't know what it is, but you know, when I was working at Metro FM, there was always a constant, you are not bigger than this place, and you must watch where you walk.
Hey, they told me I'm nothing without them.
And the point is, you never thought that you were, but they just,
yeah.
Well,
ever.
Isn't it funny that now in the world of social media and everything else, you can actually say, no, look here, I actually am bigger than you.
Yeah. Like, but now, but yeah, but when I was operating during that time in the very, very beginning, you know, Twitter and Instagram wasn't as big as it was now. So I couldn't.
It was impossible.
The public support that people get right now. They didn't even
care if you said to them, we've doubled the numbers, like you said with you and Glenn.
Yeah,
right?
No, they don't care.
If you said to them, we've tripled the sales figures, or all the metrics by which you would measure these things as successful.
Gareth, listen. When I got to the drive show at Metro FM, the numbers were low. And within a space of 3 to 6 months, the numbers had increased. And in my first year, we won the very first award of the Metro FM Drive Time Show. Mm. And I was dismissed nonetheless.
Even in spite of all of that?
No, in spite of all of that. And the reason was budget.
It was probably because budgets. Of
but,
that.
But I do want to, you know, I do want to let you guys know that isn't always a woman thing. Like, that's also a stupid radio thing. Like, that happened. The guys were talking about this the other day too, and they were saying that just when you feel like you're getting into a rhythm, just when things are starting to click in, when your audience is in sync with you and you're starting to make it work and it just feels like a flow,
someone calls you and tells you how they're going to change your life as of next week Monday.
What is the reason? Maybe you hit on it already.
I don't know the answer, but maybe you said it just now. People kind of putting you in your place.
We've had this conversation.
But what's the problem?
Because the problem is they are insecure. You bonang mateba. Maybe whether you started Izolo 3 days ago. The point is that it doesn't matter. They've discarded who they are. They've forgotten who they are.
And also we complain about how the South African industry is not growing, how it's not evolving, how it's not moving forward. And then you're on the brink of being responsible for creating a superstar or creating a great broadcaster. And then when it's about to explode and create another wave of inspiration for so many people after that, you yank it. It makes no sense at all. Only because you want to put somebody in their place. How does that help that person? How does that help our industry?
But they're not thinking about
it. It's deliberate.
Like you're trying to reason.
Yeah.
Are you still trying to reason? May I give her an
please
example?
Please do. Please.
So your example is your life.
Yeah.
You get to Metro and your head of radio is someone who once was on air.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Already. So your head of radio.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I know where this is going.
And head of radio, I mean head of Metro, MG5 is the term, right?
Yes.
Metro, Good Hope and Five, MG5. Mm. You know it.
Competition.
So, Biza, I'm giving you your scenario now, right? Light bulb.
Yes.
You get to Metro, having achieved everything that you've achieved. Your boss, head of 3 radio stations, was on air, never prime time, never enjoyed the audiences that you enjoy today, never enjoyed the stages, and I mean global stages,
global
that you are comfortable on,
coolie,
global,
and you expect
what was that
country
was in?
You expect him to be secure in your feminine
insecure
presence. My nephew has taught me a phrase, and he says, "Auntie, I've never seen so many beta males."
What?
And he schooled me. He's 20,
what,
21.
Say that again.
Beta males. I'll give it to you. So you're dealing with a beta male in your, as a alpha female.
Okay.
I'll get to it. So you're dealing as an alpha female now, who they've asked to come to Metro. You're dealing with a beta male who has to negotiate with you.
Okay.
So already he's on an insecure level. So he's going to bring you down to a level where he can relate to you. Then you're dealing with a female boss who has failed on 2 other radio stations and they've brought to come and somehow do magic at Metro. So you think that's not going to cause any tension?
It's setting you up for
failure. So the beta male, and I think it's a conversation that Gareth has already started. The beta male is the automatic knee-jerk reaction that a man will give an alpha female.
Yeah.
You three are alpha females. Whenever men in your presence either come at you or they jerk at you or they try and antagonize you or they poke, whenever, that's the beta male, because they're trying to see how the alpha female in you
will respond. They're not strong enough to either reason with you or treat you with the respect that they expect from you.
So they want a relationship.
So that's like a weak male.
Yeah, correct.
Alpha beta.
Alpha beta, of course.
Then you go further.
So I want to just change this up a little bit, because you've all got positive stories too, and I'm sure you get approached by people all the time, particularly young women who want to go into the media world and want to get into either writing, or they want to get into TV and radio, or they want to get into producing, or whatever it might be, singing in your case. What do you say to those people? Because you guys know that the industry can't support everyone, right? So you either have to say to them,
be multi-skilled, that's what I've got to say.
As you do on Idols every week. We have to say to them, I'm sorry, this is just not, you're not good enough.
Is she going to start crying?
Or.
Nati just pulled a zap sign for those of you who are listening.
I'm allowed to.
Or do you say to these young women, here's the standard piece of advice I give everybody, and it's then you don't feel bad because you're telling everybody the same thing and it's true for everybody. I mean, what do you even begin with?
I love what Tomas Chaba said, and I love what you said. You were saying that even if you're a newbie on radio, demand what you're worth. What are you? Because I only started yesterday. Just give me that 300. I'll be fine. Demand what you're worth. I didn't know that.
How do you even know what you're worth?
Research.
So research.
We have to get comfortable with talking about money.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting you, Gareth, when I come to you and ask you what you earn, to give me an exact amount. But I seek counsel. I call people. Mm. You know, when I got to radio, commercial radio, I didn't know what to charge for a power spot, for instance. So I actually spoke to a few of my colleagues, males and females.
Are there options?
What do you charge? So I compared, and then I thought, then that's what I'll charge. So don't be afraid to talk about money, and also look at the years and the expertise that you've accumulated in that amount of time.
That's very useful info. What do you usually say to them?
I become very elitist when I get to it. I say go to school.
Yeah.
I say the only reason I do. I mean, I literally say there's one Bonang in our generation. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And Biza own it. Mm. Like, there's only one spectacular energy that will hypnotize all of us, that will make us fall in love with him.
Mm.
And unfortunately, she owns her spot, and she has it for our generation.
And you're disregarding yourself by hating her.
Do you know what I mean?
You're disregarding yourself by hating her.
Bonang once said one thing that I love, and I've never told you this, but I'll say it later. But then when I come back to that, I say, for the rest of us, semi-humans, go to school.
You know, I'm also
go to school. Yeah. Like, get your foundation. I'm not saying like go to like a 4-year and go ahead, get a 4-year degree or whatever. Just go to school, read. And I mean, when I say go to school, I mean read. Doesn't have to be, you need to sit in a lecture room.
No, sure.
You need to read. There are modules.
What were you going to say, Bonang?
You know, I'm usually very honest with women coming into this industry. It's the South African entertainment industry. It looks better than it actually is.
It's terrible.
There's very little money.
Well, let's talk about that quickly.
There's no money.
You come back in a second, but everybody thinks when you are on TV, suddenly you are rolling in it.
No. There's more money behind the camera.
Especially family members.
And those glamorous TV jobs don't look so glamorous when the camera's off.
No. Yeah. There's more money behind the camera. That's what I found.
No, it is true.
And that's what
it depends on who you are.
So what you're doing.
So people think there's money.
And how often?
Yeah, there isn't money. And usually a lot of people spectators of the South African entertainment industry say, why do you have to be a DJ and act and this and this?
Because they're open up the industry.
Yeah, I mean, but honestly, truly, if you're in America and you had one hit song, you're made. In South Africa, it doesn't work like that. You need two or three jobs.
Multi-skilled.
But look, in order for you to even meet you know, your bills at the end of the month. Mm. There is very, very little money. There's also very little, like a foundation phase. Mm. You know, we're not teaching children from a very young age the acting or singing. We're not taking care of the industry. First of all, we're hiring the wrong gatekeepers, people who make decisions based on emotions. When I feel if somebody's going to head up Metro FM or whatever that has 4.2 million listeners, and it is their responsibility, number one, to understand and know numbers, to understand and know how to treat talent. You know, number three, how to treat talent. How to treat talent. Number one, how to treat talent. Also, if your model is working, why change it? So I think how, number one, people are not getting into the industry is because the people who hold the keys to the doors are wrong. Number one.
Okay.
What Bonang says about how to treat talent. I mean, when you observe the industry in the United States, just looking at the US and how they successfully managed to have a drama series that will span for 18, 20 series and seasons, and how they will successfully manage to have a current affairs show that will span over 20 years.
Larry King!
100% is because they respect talent. Mm-hmm. Now, in this country, it is completely different.
Tribalists!
To be honest with you, I mean, let's not look at it from a linear perspective. If we have to go in a little bit deeper, guys, we just came out of oppression, okay? Mm. There is something called the poverty mentality. Yeah. The black man is still impoverished mentally.
But no one then, Master Chaba, structures need to be there. Why do we not have a union
exactly
of artists, musicians, actors?
Why don't we start one now, tonight?
Yeah. Okay, with the guys, we decided we were starting a Hall of Fame for broadcasting. with the women.
I know you all are pissed.
with the women, we're going to do a union of...
whatever. Whether it's educating, you know, artists, musicians, getting into contract, whatever it is. There's somebody that's there that can guide. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, keep an eye out. Because but number one, there needs to be somebody...
like the arts ministry? Whoever seems to be doing is sending out condolences.
Do you really want the arts ministry running everybody's careers?
No, we don't.
Just monitoring who signs contracts, who's allowed to be a casting director, who's allowed to start a record label, who's allowed to...
To your credit, you've set that up around yourself. As you've grown...
Yeah. Don't be that guy who's asking her now to give it to other kids.
Not at all. I'm saying she's done it on her own.
Okay.
So she's probably made a few mistakes along the way. There've probably been people you've worked with that you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But you learn from that.
Yes.
And then eventually you find out who you can trust, you find out who's the best to negotiate things for you, who can manage your diary, who can manage the kinds of brands you get involved with. I mean, that comes with experience, and no one can do that for you.
Absolutely, but that's another thing. What do I say to young girls getting into the industry? Number one, no one's going to help you. No one's going to look out for you.
Yeah, forget about that whole thing.
Number one, there are no structures. Half of us don't know what we're doing. We are going day by day. We're freelancers. Number two, right? Number three, it is about how much shit you can take for how long. That's all it is, getting into the entertainment industry.
By the way, just ding ding.
Yeah.
Bonang has now entered the swearing sweepstakes.
Yes, go. I wanted to say thank you. Unati
started off by dropping at least seven in a row.
Yes.
Kuli came on with some strong ones.
Yes.
Mas Chaba came in, and now
Bonang is fully here. Please, may I say something?
Sure.
Going on both what Master Chaba and Biza, you were both saying, and it goes with, you know, the whole open up the industry, whatever. And you were saying it's part of the impoverished mind that we think that way.
Yeah.
And it goes back to also what you were saying much earlier. We can look up to a Ryan Seacrest, who I also look up to, you know, because we're in that producing phase, right? Or a J-Lo or a Justin Timberlake or even a Beyonce. It's only now that people are accepting other human beings to be multi-talented.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
When I started...
You had to be one thing.
I
was a writer.
Yeah. I mean, we know her from Castle Out.
I was a writer for decades.
Yes. Yeah, so they're like, we know her from Castle Out. Oh, now she's doing television. Now she's won Song of the Year.
And then they say to
who
me,
the hell
and then they go on about, oh my gosh, she can't sing. Who the hell is booking her then? Why is she always booked? Why is she always booked?
Who's buying her music?
Who's buying her music?
Why is she winning?
I apologize.
Coolie. mic technique. Me, you remember that from first year?
So for me, that's also part of the problem because then you're psychologically you're being limited to franchising your talent.
Yeah.
When we look at the States, they get it very. I mean, we went to Hollywood like a couple of years ago, and the bus. The girl on the bus doing the Hollywood famous tours. I literally was like, this girl is more talented. This was a quote. I was like, this girl is more talented than 98% of our hosts back at home. And literally the guys with me, they're like, okay, who's better than her? And I literally named like three people. And I was like, okay, so-and-so's better than her. So-and-so's better than so-and-so. But she's better than everybody else that I haven't mentioned. And that's what you were saying, the grooming process and the gatekeepers, that's their responsibility to nurture that, to harvest it, to protect it and to say, you know what? Maschaba, you're phenomenal as a facilitator. Mm. You're phenomenal as a host. You're phenomenal as an MC. I see you. I see you wanting to get into poetry.
Yeah.
I see you wanting to get into maybe an MC. That?
And also,
let's meet like once a week. So I'm a writer. Mm. Maybe I can't help you on delivery because I'm not an MC. But certainly in terms of your composition, I can help you there. And we don't have that nurturing. No.
And because
energy.
You know what? Because our entertainment industry is so early, our country is so early, and because we still need to stick to traditional media, newspapers, radio, television, those structures need to get there in order for us to create the J-Lo's, the Beyoncé's, the next generation of people who are going to be great. If our structures at the bottom are not great, the gatekeepers are wrong, how do we expect the fresh talent to find their way into all these wonderful broadcasting mediums when the people who are there and are looking at the wrong things or are there for the wrong reasons?
But don't you think social media and the internet
it's taken all that power away?
Yeah, but yeah, I love that.
Yeah, but don't forget, give some newspapers some big ups as well.
So name those newspapers because some of us hate a lot of them.
Sunday Sun, the one that you hate. Definitely. Give them an opportunity. They're changing.
What are they changing?
They're changing exactly what they did to you.
What? No, they apologize when they get forced to apologize after we have to spend hundreds of thousands of rands to force them to apologize.
Hang on.
And then so the apology is a tiny little column.
It doesn't matter. It's there for life.
And they're only changing because they have to survive now.
And this is my point.
And they're only changing
after
because
we spend hundreds of thousands of rands forcing them to apologize.
Only changing because
I'm not giving
now
them credit
the power
at
all. Shifted.
It's a reaction.
It's a reaction because they know they have no power now. Now they know that we will spend hundreds of thousands of our rands to make them say, I am sorry. Mm.
So it's wonderful because we have lived in both where our careers depended on traditional media, whereas now traditional media reacts to what celebrities are doing, which is wonderful.
How does that make you feel? Because I think you've managed.
Yeah,
I think you've managed both. Half, but I think you've managed them like impeccably well.
It's better because I can change, correct, control anything at any time from the palm of my hands. Also how I feel about people getting to radio or television, journalism, you know, whoever wants to be on what it literally starts in the palm of your hand. So everybody is reacting to something they should have seen coming, I think.
You know, when
very,
I saw your power, Bonang,
ago.
Is when Fresh joined 94.7.
Oh,
and
yes.
Bonang tweeted one thing. She said in Kasesotho, something along the lines of, guys, 94.7 is having a bicycle challenge. Can we all go buy bicycles?
Yes.
I was like, look at this girl.
We're going to buy bicycles.
I want to get a little bit close to the bone on something because
is it because of what you've just witnessed?
No, because I love this. This is nice. This is what I was hoping would happen.
Yes, love, lots of love,
always,
lots of love.
Well,
lots
here's
of love.
The thing.
Lots
like,
of love.
When you have a man in your life,
gosh.
No.
I can't respond. I don't have one.
Man,
I don't
have one either.
You mean let me finish?
Okay, let him finish.
I knew you'd go crazy. So
And we all grab our mugs of coffee.
Okay,
well,
you have our attention, sir. Right.
Okay. When or if there is a man in your life, you're all tremendously successful women in your own right. You all are outspoken, confident. Mm. None of you are going to take nonsense from anybody.
No.
Is it hard to find men who are not threatened by what you've done and what you are doing and who you are.
Yes, Kuli. I've seen it with you.
Mm. Of course it is.
Let her speak for herself. No, but I wanted to get to the truth. I want to, and I don't want you.
No, Tatum doesn't like, just be for yourself.
No, she will. But may I intro?
Please.
And I'm asking respectfully, Maschaba, as someone, she's family, genuinely. Kuli is my son and my daughter's aunt. Like, she's literally physically related to us. So I've seen you trying to navigate through that, and it's always been a yardstick for me because you've always been, you're articulate, and I think a woman who knows how to process her thoughts is threatening. It's threatening. Whether you're articulate, guess Xhosa, and in English, so that's also a double threat because we forget that language is a power tool amongst Black people as well. Mm. A lot of people make fun of me because of the English I speak. I was raised by the British. What else do they expect? Mm. It's not something.
Hello.
Do you know what I mean?
But also, there's quite a lot of sexism embedded in the language too.
Right? Completely.
So there's a way that people speak to each other, if it's woman to woman or if it's man to man.
Yeah. And I see through that. Yeah. So with you, I've seen you navigate through that. I've seen you navigate through being incredibly astute and articulate, being very township, but also you went to DSG, one of the greatest schools in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I've seen you navigate between you being this thinker, this intellectual woman, and sometimes not numbing yourself, but just, you know,
going with the flow.
With men who it's initially we'd assume, oh my gosh, he works for the NIA. He must be okay.
Yeah.
He must be into himself, secure.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, okay, we're talking national security. Okay. And I'll be like, okay, this is the one.
Only for it to fall apart.
No matter which position he occupies.
Do you feel like sometimes you've had to lower your own kind of
you want to be normal, you want to be like everyone else, you want to be holding hands in the mall, you want to so sometimes
you've also got a huge
amount. My ex-husband said to me, if you went to Kuli Roberts, I would have never been caught. And did he, what kind of explanation is that?
But do you
is that a sorry?
Okay, he's still my brother-in-law.
I love him.
Me too, so no, stop it.
I would never hate him. I would always love him.
You've also got a huge amount of energy, like it must be very very difficult to live with you if you're on, like, because you are a bundle of energy. So every time I see you, like, I need 20 minutes afterwards to just calm down.
She's different at home, though.
Yeah. Are you like this all the time?
No.
Only like 99% of the time.
All right. So now, Maschaba, the same question I asked Kuli.
I'm myself.
Hey,
they said Maschaba.
Sorry, I apologize.
Yes.
This is the second time Maschaba now is standing at ground.
You, Kuli. And you're right next to me. Sorry. My left hand is right next to your right cheek.
Yeah, don't be like. Did you hear that one is pregnant? Do you hear your friend is pregnant? The one who was denying.
Who's pregnant?
Anyway,
wait, talk later.
No, Maschaba, back to you.
Back to you, Maschaba.
The shade.
Okay, so.
My mother once said to me, my child, don't ever get married because there is no man that could ever stand for your power. Like, there is no man that could ever handle you. Mm. And I don't know if that was a curse or if that was a blessing because...
You took it seriously.
I didn't.
What kind
I just divorced my second husband.
But you've remembered it.
I remember it.
And now when you're getting divorced, you think, that's my mother. She told me.
She said that. So that's why I say, I don't know if it was a blessing or a curse. I should have listened. I would have done it again because I married two amazing men.
Are you going to get married again?
And by the way, they're still my friends. You know, we're raising children together. But I take ownership of some of... They say when a relationship fails, it means both parties have failed. Mm. But to answer your question more directly and truthfully, Gareth, I don't know if there's a man out there for me who is comfortable enough to allow me to be the powerful, truthful Maschaba.
I mean, I'm not wearing undies, for goodness sakes. You know what I mean? It's all too much. That's the kind of women we are. We're on other level.
Come here, baby. All
right, did I mess up my mic? I think there are men out there.
Yeah, there are.
I just think... I know. I just don't want to say too much.
I just think that when you meet him, you meet him.
No, I just think we need to broaden our horizons.
Okay.
What does that mean?
She means go on social apps.
No.
What
are you saying?
She means you don't just have to date people here. You don't just have it like in Joburg or in the entertainment industry.
Okay, so can we get personal?
Okay.
Go for it.
When we were talking and when we were having breakfast, what were you telling me about the man you think I'm going to end up with?
I think he's got to be an international kind of man.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Because Nati's not the kind of girl who keeps her ambitions and her vision small. And she needs people who can travel the world with her.
You sound like my mother.
All of us.
Who can figure things out that they don't, they both don't know. And there are not a lot of people in this country who know less.
No, but the thing is, it's not their fault, though. They have been socialized to be assholes.
That's not Unati's problem.
But I'm just saying.
This is why Unati's moving.
Like, this,
good for you,
Unati. But there's this whole world of like opportunities and possibilities for any of you. Mm-hmm. What I'm asking, and the reason I'm asking it is, look, I hope it's not a blessing or a curse.
I hope it
just is advice.
I think it's advice.
Like, it doesn't have to
be
final,
honest
right?
with you, I've kept it to myself for a long time, but I've been celibate for a long time. And
I got a couple celibate of celibate or that
we need to distinguish.
How's the cobwebs?
Are you celibate or are you abstaining for now?
Celibacy, please break it down for me. What's the difference?
Celibacy is indefinite. Celibacy is I am going to not have sex. Ever.
I didn't know ever, that celibacy is indefinite. Yeah, All I knew was that I made an intentional decision to not have sex.
So you're abstaining.
And I'll tell you my reasons. Yeah. I don't know whether I'm abstaining or I'm
you're
celibate.
You're abstaining.
How do you know that?
Because I know I'm in that world.
Okay, hold on. Let me tell you.
How long have you been abstaining? 2 hours.
Wait.
Ladies. That's why they don't want us to.
Thank you. May I finish? Thank you. So I've been abstaining. Because from a spiritual point of view, people don't understand the power of sex. Sex creates life. There's a reason why soccer players in many instances are isolated sexually from women prior to matches. You're not allowed to interact sexually.
So many dreams
are delayed because we are allowing people to deposit their filthy energy into our bodies. I don't know what I'm waiting for. I'm not waiting for a marriage. I'm not waiting for a ring. I'm not waiting for death. I don't know how long.
Abstinence.
But I've just decided to abstain and it's been so good.
How's it going? I mean,
I've not thought about sex in a while. It was difficult in the beginning and there was, you know, some self-pleasure happening. But, you know, eventually I like
the way this interview is going, by the way.
I decided to grow my garden, you know, my personal garden.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
So, you know, I've got a beautiful garden down there. And
really, with your no underwear on tonight, your garden can do with a trim.
And so, for me, it's really about having found me and not having a dependency on anybody, not male, not female, because I don't identify with heterosexuality.
Okay.
I don't,
you pan sex.
Yeah.
You love humans.
How did you know that?
I'm enlightened.
I'm pansexual.
Are you pansexual?
This is a very
that's
exciting
so beautiful.
It's the first time I've said that publicly.
Are
I'm
you
a
serious?
Yeah, good for you.
And my tongue takes this.
Wow, I can't believe I actually just said that publicly.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
And you'll get support. You'll get support here.
Why do you make it sound like I'm an alcoholic? Gareth, I didn't say I'm a drug addict.
People now. Yeah. People now, they don't care about that stuff like they used to.
People care.
In time gone by. Well, you don't.
I don't care if people care.
The people who mind don't matter, and the people who matter don't mind.
What you've done for so many people listening, you won't understand. So I thank you for allowing us to take the conversation.
You must go twice. Just get it over with.
Don't say that in front of Gareth.
So now I've had this conversation with her. Bonang, the thing about men who are threatened by you.
You know what I think? And when it comes to relationships and ending up with your happily ever after, I think whatever job you do, whether you're the president of America or the president of South Africa, whether you are Bonang or you are wherever you are, I just feel like God wouldn't create your soulmate and then not give you the opportunity to meet them. It just depends in which chapter in your life you actually meet them. Because I think you're a different person at every single chapter of your life. Therefore, you need a different kind of human being.
Yeah.
And
timing.
Sometimes timing. Men can't, because every 5 years a woman is a different person, and what you need is somebody who understands you through your changes. Yeah. You don't.
Someone once said to me that men end up with women, and the women hope they can change them, but they never can.
Yeah.
And women and men get together. The man thinks the woman will never change, but she does.
She does. Yes. And what I found okay with relationships ending is that at that part of your life, that's what you needed. Mm. And then you change, and change is just growth. And as you grow, you're a different person. And if the person you're with cannot grow with you, that's okay. Mm. You need a different person, because you are a different person, because if you're in a different chapter in your life.
Or you maybe don't need a person at that stage.
Or you don't need a person at all. But I think whether I worked at Edgar's or whether I worked wherever, you know, I was just a normal person. I just feel like power is within a human being, and there's somebody there who can deal with the power. Mm. Whether you're on television or, I mean, there are girls who are not even on TV who are struggling to find soulmates.
Where are they?
It can't be just because CEOs, they're CEOs, they're nurses, they're doctors, they are women who hold PhDs who still can't
find. But also,
or, men who deal with their power.
The nuclear family could have been a reference. Maybe you don't have to have a soulmate.
I was about to say, is it the case that everybody has a soulmate?
Remember that
the definition of a soulmate is not necessarily an intimate partner.
Exactly.
A soulmate can be your brother.
Your cousin.
I've got beautiful love relationships with people that are not my husband. They're not my boyfriend, but they fulfill me.
Absolutely.
And I fulfill them.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know, the bonang on television is different from the one maybe sometimes at home.
Yeah.
And what my fans want for me, because they don't spend intimate moments and times with me, they wouldn't necessarily know what I need personally. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm. So what we sometimes do, what celebrities do, is that they date people who they think the world is perfect for them. We date people who we think, oh, this is what
we compliment
the
each
world
other.
Wants for me. Mm. You know?
We've
so,
all been guilty of that.
Yeah.
I know.
No, we've not all been guilty of that. I stay far away from public figures.
Like I said, we're all
I've never dated a celebrity in my life.
I wanted to know. I want
us to go back to
Ulanga Lagara's question. Ubonang, who is she dating?
What are you dating now?
No one. I'm very, very single. You know, the thing is also with me, a lot of my career has revolved around the men that I'm with versus what I do. Mm. And if you look and think about it, actually, I do very little talking about my personal life. Mm. I don't even show you where I am, what I'm doing, how many brothers I have, sisters, you know, whether I'm with somebody or not. But there's also something about the media that for a woman, in order for you to be whole, you need to have a man.
You need to be married. In Japan, you can only be whole
and successful, and your success is tied up to having this wonderful life that you have created for a man or with a man.
Mm. I want to know, Bonang, from you,
you are a scientist or you are in a lawyer or a doctor. Oh, darling, you have not achieved anything unless you are Mrs.
Somebody. What did your mother teach you about men and about marriage?
She always taught me to be independent because then a lot of my decisions aren't based on the material things that I need from a man. It will always be based on the emotional, psychological, and spiritual things I need from a man. So when I'm with a man, it's not because he's keeping me together, in terms of material things, money, whatever. I'm keeping myself together. What I need from him is emotional and spiritual companionship. So when you are a woman who stands on her own, whether in financially or you've built your own career, I think it is easier for me, it's number one, more difficult to meet men because they can't really maybe kind of match up to what I've built for myself. But also number two, it's easier for me to leave them.
Yeah.
Because if they can't give me what I need spiritually, emotionally,
fit in or fuck off.
It's easier to meet. Yeah. Yeah, it's easier to leave them.
You know, my biggest challenge in my newly single life, right, is exactly what you're saying. Mm. I've got my life.
You've got your life.
Okay. I've got my
you
life.
You don't want any more kids?
You know what I'm saying?
You don't want another husband?
No. I travel with my kids. Do you know what I'm saying?
My kids have a father. My or kids, fathers.
And they know, you know who their father is. You know? And I've got my life and I've established that. Mm. And as you were saying, and for me, what I'm finding, G, to answer your question is, there are two directions men take with me when they're asking me out. The first is they say, oh, Nats, I'll satisfy you in bed. Yeah, and I go,
what?
And I go, well, that's relative because I'm closer and I'm Scorpio, so I'm a double stereotype. So I doubt that very much.
That's very
okay.
much.
Okay, okay, wait, wait.
I
wait.
Think maybe
okay.
I'll be the one schooling you.
Ooh. Now I'm curious, what does it take to school you in bed?
Me.
I mean,
a great mind.
Okay, body language.
Okay. Great mind.
Body language.
This is Pan. This is Pan.
I'm going to throw in hashtag ask a man.
Stay on track. Stay on track.
And then the second thing is, right, once I kill that one, the second one is, not to help you build an empire.
Sorry, do all the men that you date talk like this?
I mean, where does she hang out?
Like BEE niggas?
Like in the Lord of the Rings?
I'm surprised they have the audacity to talk to you.
Do you know what I mean? And then the second thing they always say is, I'll help you build an empire. And I go, this is my humble speak, but I might.
Mm-hmm. You have my attention.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then when I say to them, but I want to get to know you. Mm-hmm. I want to know what your fears are. Mm-hmm. I want to know what your hopes and dreams are. Mm-hmm. Then they don't know what to say to me. Mm-hmm. Because identity to a man in a masculine sense mm-hmm. is identified through finance mm-hmm. and sex. So once an authority. Yeah. So once you take those away and you say, yeah. I just want to know the man. I just want to know who you.
Scares them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They're auntie.
Yeah, they don't. So that's why I'm not dating.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not dating because I'm like.
And they also don't want to be honest. I mean, if you just want to, like, you know, have your groove on.
That's fine.
Look, I'm we're not children.
I'm not dating because no one approaches me.
Yeah, that's an issue as well.
So
you're so insensitive.
I can understand. Why not? I mean, come on.
No, it's true.
What are they going to say to her?
Why do you think men don't approach the both
school,
of you?
No, I'll tell you why. And it's got nothing to do with both my public you. Status. Since high school, there's a guy out there called Bongani. I forgot his surname.
Thankfully,
like 300 of them.
No, there's a guy called Bongani.
We're thankful you don't know his surname.
During my high school years, who I had the biggest crush on. Nabwase Zulu. He was Zulu. He was from Kagiso. He couldn't speak English properly at the time. He sat behind me in math class. I'd just come back from the States. So I had a funny American accent.
I know. I was there with the head as well.
This is the third time I'm reprimanding you.
I apologize.
And then for Gareth, for a very long time, I really just wanted this guy to ask me out. Mm. So we weren't allowed to bring dates from outside the school, and we could only, you know, bring dates from within the school. Anyway, I left the school before the matric dance because I went somewhere else to go study in grade 11. Now I bumped into another guy who was in advertising. And I asked him, where's Bongani? Because they were part of the same clique. And he's like, I don't know, you know. And I was like, do you know how I had the biggest crush on Bongani? He's like, what? We all laughed at him because he had the biggest crush on you. Oh, and we told him he was out of, he was out of your league. You're from the States. You want boy, you're my
so
man.
So you two passed each other.
We passed each other. If only he knew I was attracted to the fact that he was so Zulu.
You should
and
have
so
just said
classy.
That. You should
like
have
the fact
that.
That he, it was for me, that was so sexy, how authentic he was. Yeah. And all the guys that were coming at me like, yo, my man, yo, what's up? What's going on? I didn't want that shit, you know. I wanted something raw. I wanted that Zulu nigga, yeah, you know.
So basically what I'm hearing is that you want people to actually come onto you and not be afraid.
I'm in love with confidence. Yes, you can never pinpoint any one of my exes and say that's her type. I love men who are confident enough to step up and to be true about their intentions.
Nice.
So we're living in an age where you could put anything you want on the internet and people expect certain things of you. They want you to share stuff that maybe you're not comfortable with. Like, where do you draw the line?
Nope.
I don't share anything private. Like privacy. Mm. How much do you let people have of you and how much do you keep to yourself? Because I'm guessing you have to keep a little bit for you.
I don't share anything to
you. I think the true art of that is making people feel like they know a lot of you when they actually know nothing. Mm. There's an art in that. There's a real art in maneuvering and you know, bending and stretching social media in such a way that people believe they're getting all of you,
but they get nothing. Yeah,
and also because you always have control. You always have control.
I mean, obviously we're talking levels here. I mean, I'm just like, you know, I'm posting. I'm not thinking about any of that. Yeah. I'm posting.
I think for me, there's a limit.
I'm sure there's some things you wouldn't post.
Obviously, no. Yeah. Yes.
For me, there's my limit. Yeah. Honestly, and Bonang, you're the best person to speak about this because you have a reality show.
Mm. Yeah.
People have asked me, would you allow cameras up? Hell no. Mm. But, you know, you do that majestically. Mm. But for me, the limit would have to be, I don't, as in all of you, I don't talk about the people that I'm with or the people that I've had experiences with.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
I don't talk
men
about
do that.
That.
Men do that.
But I am very, I'm an open book. But the only time you'll get to tap into me, because I'm a broadcaster like you, Gareth. And so when I'm behind this microphone on my own show, I will be myself 100%. I don't hold back. I'll talk about my mother. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about my kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what else do you not talk about if you are as willing to leave your soul on the floor every time?
Depending
you are
what
engaged.
Job you're doing. Exactly, because you'd be a Gareth as
exactly.
opposed to...
Exactly. So there's always context and there's time, there's place. It's like Beyonce. Look at Beyonce. Mm. Beyonce controls her narrative.
Yes, all the time.
She,
says
she
all
doesn't
time.
Talk about her personal anything, life, yeah. but she sings about it.
Yeah.
For me, Gareth, I'm enjoying.
She sings about it as well.
Yeah, I do, but I enjoy, and this is what I wanted to say, I enjoy not being on radio anymore. Because I don't have to do what you're talking about anymore. Mm. I don't have to give examples of my private life. Mm. I don't have to make parallels and add similes so that we can relate.
Yeah.
For the last 2 years, I've been genuinely living the life of a selfish artist. I don't know what the fuck is going on
it's fabulous.
In the world.
It's fabulous.
It is amazing. I am so selfish with my life and my time. Nobody knows anything.
And you don't feel any pressure to have to do
no. This. I'll give you an example. We were driving here to the interview with my nephew, who's my cinematographer, by the way, graduated. Yes, a good school. So we're driving and we get into the car. I don't listen to radio anymore. So I listen to my music. But we happen to grab like the last headline and it's about... What was it?
Something
rape?
On Twitter.
It was rape.
Oh, no.
Something to do... Oh! Oh, my gosh. Great R learners. Mm. These are 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds.
They're getting kicked out of school?
A great R what? Learner. No, got raped.
Oh.
Gang raped by other great R's. Oh. So I said to him, this is why I don't listen to radio.
So
this is why I will not go back onto radio. Because
and it's
now,
right here. It's in your face.
Because Kay... And then I was explaining to him. And I'm like... People think I'm like snooty or arrogant when I say I don't want to go back to radio.
No,
I don't want to deal with that heartbreak.
No, that's not it. I don't think that is it.
I don't want to deal with that heartache.
Can I say
please.
What I... Because I feel like that
please,
a lot.
Please, Bizarre.
And when you are part of something you love very much and you give your heart and soul and then somebody mistreats you at the height of where you thought was the greatest moment of your life, there's a certain hate or a... towards that thing. That's how I feel with radio.
Yes.
I feel my radio show was perfect. I can't walk into, you know, work the one morning and tell me you've completely changed my show. I don't want to do radio. I hate it. Why didn't you treat me right? You know?
Good
so
for
you sort of have
No, I'm there.
I don't know, your attitude changes towards.
And you're like, I get again.
Towards it.
You're
just
like,
because,
I get again.
Yeah,
I get again.
Just because of that one very, very, very bad experience. I don't know. Maybe
it's
I'm
that.
Right or wrong, but for
completely.
Me, that's how I feel.
It puts you off.
It does. It really, really does. And because of that, a lot of South Africans have lost so many, I think, great voices on radio.
Yeah.
Because of back to how you treat talent. South African productions, South African industry does not know how to treat your talent. And what people don't understand is artists are artists. They're driven by their emotion. So the happier they are, the better they perform.
Yeah.
And when things at the back of in behind the scenes and they're not being treated well, you can hear it in the script, mm-hmm. in their voice, where, mm-hmm. where if they're on TV, you can see it in their eyes. And the whole production just has a very negative morale. So if we start with treating our talent incredibly, the positivity that vibrates from them spreads towards this whole entire
through
production,
the mic, into millions of people's hearts.
And without even having to pay extra money, the quality of your work becomes great, because the person who is the face or the voice or the or the spearhead of whatever you're doing becomes so in love with it and over delivers.
So then I'm going to take from that and assume that you've found certain things that you can do to keep your environment as hygienic for those things as possible.
Because it's hygiene. Like, it's mental hygiene.
It's not hygiene, it's love.
You don't allow the bad in.
Yeah. Without them realizing or not, artists will always gravitate towards love. Mm. The people who treat you the nicest, the kindest, you always bend backwards for them a little bit more, and you'll never ever want that feeling to be extended. Exactly. You'll never ever go back to people who treat you badly.
No.
You'll never ever want to interact with people who've treated you badly.
I feel like Bonang is speaking my mind.
If I'm treated
I can't
badly,
I have
I'm
nothing
sorry.
To say right now.
I feel that way.
Everything she said, I resonate with.
It's so selfish right now, right? Sorry, Kay. It's so selfish right now for me. If you look me the wrong way, look at me the wrong way, I'm not even saying hi to you anymore.
It's experience.
If you sign the contract the wrong, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Your home wanted me, Mas Chaba's home.
Which home?
Black Entertainment Channel.
Well, no, I don't have a home.
Okay, I saw.
No, be specific. I don't have a
BET.
Home. Oh no, yeah, okay. I have a home.
That's your home.
No, I understand. I love what you do there. No, okay, that's my home.
Congratulate Cyril Ramaphosa. We've got one less homeless person.
Let me be clear. I was not sure because we had offline conversations about other homes.
No, but I would never do that to you. Your home that I love, BET. Yes, that I know. Yeah, Black and Center.
And let me tell you what I love about BET. There's a man called Monde Twala. Mm. I've worked with him since he was the head of ETV. I've never in my life, in the history of my career, worked with a man who was all about talent, who was all about vision, who was all about content, and never once tried
when
to get me in
the
bed.
Right gatekeeper.
Yes. He calls me because he knows I can do the job. Yeah. And he gives me what I want, not because he can gain from me sexually. And I will always respect that about him.
So I love your establishment. Twala, I love you. You know that related to the Twalas and Mom Shadow Twala, love that family. He's phenomenal. So they've wanted me for a while. They finally had a format that I thought, okay, we could possibly work on. We were working on it and we were like back and forth and I almost signed. Until one producer.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
She called me. In front of my band. And me, I have a tendency. It's a bad tendency. I put you on speaker because I want witnesses.
I'm just okay.
Yeah, can't.
You have to.
Right. This is an important note to anyone who's calling.
And the corporate. Anyone who calls me. You're always on speaker. And until you say, Unstar, I'm on speaker. And I go, I'm taking you off because I know you don't want to be on speaker no more.
Noted.
Note.
In my head.
Please, I note
that. Okay.
She calls me. I know about this format. I've been working on it. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So she calls me. She's like, we would like to consider you for this. But then she gives me attitude. So now my band is all going. And we talked with our faces. So my entire band is going, oh, are you continuing this conversation with this woman who's disrespecting you and all of that stuff? To cut a very long story short, by the time the heads of channel called me BT, I literally was like, I love the concept. As you know, I believe in you. I would have joined you. I would have gotten permission from Zansi because that's what we need to do. However, Ms. So-and-so, she had a bit of a tone. She had a bit of an attitude. So I don't think I want to shoot a 13-part series with her. I decline your offer.
Okay, what's the most fun thing?
You decline the whole offer?
I don't work in negative spaces.
Love.
I don't do it. Love. Yeah. It goes back to what Bernard was saying.
You're
going to
hate
love.
It's about energy.
And that's what I said to them. I said, you're not going to be there.
But
when
why
she's
couldn't they remove
me,
the producer?
I don't do that. I don't want to cost people their jobs. So I'd rather say no.
I get a feeling that a lot of people take pleasure out of hearing about the stories you've said no to. So tell, you don't have to mention names, but tell me a story each of you have decided not to do something.
Oh, no, can I say something? I was all excited, all ready, all there, all made up, all glammed up. I was ready, I was prepared. The presenter saw me. He was meant to be my co-presenter. He's like, no, I don't want her.
What's ready? His name?
Because we intimidate them.
What's his name?
You're not. You don't have to say.
You said we don't have to. So I'm not going to give him the glory.
Mashallah. Mm.
All right.
Is that worth it?
So I was approached about I can't remember how many years ago, but I'd already established my brand as a woman who's about impact and about personal power and development. And I got a call. It was from Urban Brew Studios and someone who was producing. What is the gossip show RGB Real Corposa? Wanting me to be a me, wanting me to be a presenter
on Real Corposa.
Me,
no,
for Real Corposa.
So did you give them Kuli's number?
I gave them Kaim Bao's number.
Ah, very good.
And it became a very funny story that her and I shared on air on Metro when I interviewed her, because I didn't know that she actually got the job. So she told me, she's like, babe, oh my God, yeah, I found out that was you. Aww. Jeez. But she lost the job because apparently naked pictures were leaked of her and some drama around how SABC
leaked.
One
you
suddenly.
You just have to ask her.
Suddenly.
I mean, what are they talking
Stop
about?
That. Some drama around how
we've been
SABC
around
One
ages.
Suddenly felt, they suddenly felt like she didn't represent what they what
you,
they wanted for their youth and all of
that. Did you see the pictures when
no,
I mean, I saw the pictures.
It's RGB, guys.
The pictures were wrong.
It wasn't the news. Come on.
The pictures were hectic.
It wasn't Morning Live, all guys. Right. It was RGB.
I agree. Right. Like, yeah.
What does it matter? Who cares?
Well, they did.
Why cost her her job? She probably didn't want to fuck someone in the station. And I can tell you that for a fact.
You know, I actually auditioned for RGB when I was before I went on to Live on SABC One. So Urban Brew at that time had a big casting call. It was for Live. Mm-hmm. It was for the RGB, and it was for the Live Lotto draw. And I remember they said to me, I'm not bitchy enough, or I'm not like tall.
John,
or, like,
you're not subtweeting me, are you?
No. Okay. I'm getting it. It's coming there. Okay. I don't have enough attitude to be on, you know, RGB, and then they cast me on Live. But going back to the question of saying no,
yeah,
I've many times said no to many jobs. I think number one,
you have to.
Also, there's a great power in knowing what to say no to. You know, I'm led a lot by love, and also when it doesn't fit for you, it means you're gonna go to work having to pretend every day, or force yourself.
And that million doesn't become worth it.
Yeah, it's not fun. No. You can't every single second. Yeah. So yeah, unfortunately, but true.
I say no more than I say yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I say no a hell of a lot, and it's something I'm very proud of, saying no. Because it's just handsome. No. And then they're like, but, and I go, no. But I will give you the most profound no I've said recently. Definitely has to do with radio. Radio station wants me to come and work for them. I have a conversation with the boss. Head nigger in charge. He says, I want you for this. I say, I don't want to go back on radio, but I'll consider it for you. He gives me the lowdown. This is how you'll be treated and all that stuff.
Well, his girlfriend walks in looking for the wife.
No. I say, thank you. I say, okay, let's do this respectfully. They say, yes. Head nigger in charge then has to go on a trip overseas. And he leaves his subordinate, station manager, to continue the conversation. I'm still very reluctant. I don't want to go back on radio, but I'm like, okay, I'll do it for you. All that stuff. Said station manager. Oh, I'm giving away so much.
You don't have to.
I know.
You don't have to.
I'm trying to filter. Said station manager calls my ex-husband to get my number. Do you understand my rage? So said station manager, instead of calling his head nigger in charge to get my number, because the conversation already started, he calls my ex-husband.
Oh, okay. All right.
Said station manager also knows I have relationships with other on-air staff. So said station manager could have gotten my number from everybody else. However, he went directly to ex-husband.
Should I prove a point or something?
This
something
is my point and not in my name.
Yeah, something's going on.
So eventually he gets hold of me. I've already been told. So I say to said station manager, listen, tell your head nigger in charge when he gets back, I'll continue this
conversation with him, not with you.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets all like antsy and like whatever.
Okay, now you might be keeping it away.
Okay.
You may as well tell us.
No, I can't. Kuli knows, but it's okay. Kuli, you will not tell.
Man, no.
So he gets all antsy, like, what, you want to speak to me? So I said, no, I can't speak to you. So he goes, why? So I said, because you're literally slapping your dick on your forehead, and now I must just, like, swallow the cum, like, after that.
Oh, my God.
And I don't, like, it's got to be consensual.
No, it has to.
It has to be consensual.
To agree. Wait, so and both have to be happy.
Did you say this with a straight face? On speaker, you that's know me. Amazing.
Thank you.
Said nigga in charge comes back from his holiday trip in Sweden. He's like, Unsta, are you really not joining the station? I'm like, no. Like, why must I be part of, like, this whole dick fest now? You're all slapping your dicks on your forehead. Now I must, like, open up wide and, like, wait for who's going to come in my mouth.
It goes back. That's what it goes back to, treating talent, number one. Always good treating, you know.
Oh, no, I do.
Talent. Yeah. Always. That's what it is.
Oh, I say no.
Always. You know, we need to, I think, what's the industry also doesn't value, I think, a lot of things.
No.
Whether it's, you know, talent, no. Whether
what
it's.
What are you doing
with that? I thought I chipped a tooth, so I had to. Just be
I swallowed my tooth 4 weeks ago, by the way, so it's very possible.
I thought I chipped the tooth, so I just had to, like, double check. Like,
I'm tired of people going on about, like, excessive tweeting pictures of yourself as vanity. I mean, I might die tomorrow and be hit by a bus, so I'm going to do what I want to do with my phone.
Yeah. All right, now.
And yes. I just...
No,
so that was my recent no, sorry.
The stuff I want to get into that we spoke a lot about with the guys is the positive stuff.
Yes. Mm.
The stories that you felt made your career different and special. The people who you've met as a result of what you do that you feel you've had some kind of impact on, who had an impact on you. And I mean, it can be from whatever line of work it was. Mm. But something to give people an idea of the best side of this business.
Mm. The best side's the best side.
Mm. I'd like to start, if that's okay.
Yeah. Nice jacket.
I thank you. I basically cut my teeth at Urban Brew Studios, and I worked with people who complained a lot about how they are exploitative, and it really, it's about perspective. It's about which side of the wind you're facing, you know. It's about how you choose to look at the experience.
Absolutely.
I looked at it as a university.
Me too.
It was the one place where I could ask for a camera and go and shoot and go and learn. Mm. It was the one place also where I did 8 jobs and I got paid for one position. But with that said, I was exposed to so much.
Absolutely.
So I built my profile at Urban Brew. And I remember when I'd moved from Urban Brew, because I'd reached the ceiling. Mm. I was headhunted at SABC and I joined SABC Africa. And when I went to Urban Brew to go and look for my, you know, when you're pregnant, what is that form that you need to get your
IRP5?
That form.
When I went
to Urban Brew to look for that form, I bumped into a visionary named Danny Ferreira.
Oh, he changed
Danny
my life.
Ferreira.
Danny Ferreira changed my life.
Danny Ferreira is one of the founders.
He gave me my first interview.
Danny Ferreira.
Or the founder of Urban Brew.
Danny Ferreira.
He started Urban Brew Studios
from
the back of a garage. Do you guys know that Urban Brew, as it looks like, well, there's no Urban Brew there anymore, but as it looked like, it actually started as a garage in a house when they were doing La Duma.
Weekend.
Yes. So it started in the back of a garage in a house.
Wow.
And
with Barney Cohen.
Eventually they own
ITV
half of the street.
ITV 94 elections.
Mm. Right. So I'm walking in the building, I'm praying, please let me not bump into Donnie. Please let me not bump into Donnie. Please let me not bump into Donnie. Because I felt like I sold out by leaving, right?
Absolutely.
And then I bump into Donnie. And then I had a conversation with Donnie. And I said to Donnie, I had to tell Donnie, thank you for giving me an opportunity when no one else would.
Yeah.
And you know what Donnie said to me? He said, Masa Chaba, you made magic. I gave you the opportunity. You took it and you made magic. And that's what he said.
Yeah.
I'll never forget Danny Ferreira.
Goodness
ever
me, yeah.
In my life.
I've had the same experience with Urban Brew.
Oh, yes,
Urban Brew
too.
For
yeah.
me
same
is
here.
Where I learned every single thing I know.
Me too.
And because everybody that works there is a permanent, so you see the same makeup team, you
yeah.
see the
yeah.
same cameraman. So you build a family. So every Friday night, 5 p.m., I'd usually
walk in, see Nolene, because she's just about to go on Three Talk on a Friday afternoon, sitting outside chatting. Sit with Auntie Nolene for a little bit. Go in, hair and makeup. I don't want to go there. But okay. And you get into, you see this, and every single thing I know from script writing, directing, is from Urban Brew Studios. But what I wish we would do was document, archive, have a hall of fame, because every generation, because there's so little documentaries or newspaper articles or museum or the start of the creation or any, you know, anything that
Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah, where people need to sort of like learn where our entertainment industry started from. Every single generation, I feel like there's people just need to kind of find information wherever they, where people don't know
and make things
how
up.
Much of so many good things have happened in that country.
Dying
you know, there are no documentaries.
And Saki Ferreira, who ran. Saki and Dani are brothers. They gave me my big.
It's such a pity because he's left the game now.
No, he's in Cape Town doing exactly the same thing, even bigger.
What? And feeding his horses with only Spanish food. Trust me.
When I had various shows. I can't remember how I got them. But as soon as DSTV called me up and said, Cody Roberts, we want a headlines from you, where you gonna do it? It was obviously
okay. What's Donnie doing? Where is
Urban Brew? He's in Cape Town.
Why did he sell Urban Brew? I mean, I drive
past Urban Brew. He doesn't need it.
He's got bigger things to get.
Donnie would travel. You know, Donnie would travel 3 times a year to go and buy his horses food from Spain.
I heard he's married to a woman whose family owns rooibos.
Yeah, okay. They invented rooibos tea.
So therefore, what more do you need?
Donnie did something to me that a lot of people would think is sexist. But he said to me, he said, how big do you want to become? And I said, I want to be the biggest. And he said, will you do me one thing? And I said, what? And he said, don't have a baby before the age of 25.
He said that?
Yeah. Wow. And then I sat down and I said, why? And he told me. He told me about patriarchy. He told me about sexism. He told me, he says, if you have a child and you're pregnant before the age of 24, you will be doomed because our industry is so messed up. He literally broke it down to me. And he said, if you want to be as big as you want to be, I beg you not to fall pregnant before you're 25.
That is so fucked up, but that is so real. Let me tell you about my experience with Donnie, right? Donnie asked me to audition for when Channel Africa came up and they commissioned shows around entertainment, current affairs, and a whole bunch of other segments. I was auditioned to do a show called Inter Africa, which is like the top billing of Africa, right? And I auditioned, but people don't know that I am a serious tomboy. I can't describe what my hair looked like because it wasn't a style. It wasn't intentional. I had like an afro, but it was like dreadlocks, but I just didn't comb my hair.
You had nutty dreads.
I was a mess. And I only owned All Stars. So I auditioned, and then they auditioned from La Dandala eventually to be my co-host. Danny came back and said, Maschaba, they love you, but can you just try and wear a dress or like can you do your hair or do something? You know,
you're a pretty girl.
Do you know that Urban Brew gave me the cash to go, and this is when I started doing braids. I did cornrows. That's where my next look came from. I bought a dress. I wore heels for the first time and I got the job. I went to Egypt.
He's amazing.
I went to Ghana. I went to Uganda. Wow. I went to Nigeria. I traveled the continent because of Danny Ferreira.
He's amazing. He's the guy, when I was told, you need to get a weave, you need to lose 15 Ks, Danny was like, what do you want to do? I was like, none of that. He's like, okay, so then do none of that. And what I love is about the four of us is that we're all very different. We all look differently. We all speak differently. We all come from different backgrounds. But Donnie was a part of our foundations. All of us.
I just have a question to ask all of you.
In television.
Have any of you ever been sexually harassed by Donnie Ferreira?
No.
Never. Or his brother.
I find it interesting.
Or his brother, Saki.
I find it very...
No one at Urban Brew.
I've never actually been inappropriate.
Do you know why I'm asking? I find it so beautiful. What I find so beautiful is that we
never...
we never tell stories about men
that
who are powerful, who are good.
Yeah. We do. Good.
We only talk about men are trash. I don't like that. And yes, there are a lot of atrocities that are happening at the moment. Mm. But why are we neglecting the stories of the good men?
Can I tell you what happened? Can I tell you what happened after Uyinene? After Uyinene and all the stories that were coming out and people being named and shamed in the industry, whether it was the comedic fraternity or it was the DJing fraternity or it was in the acting fraternity, the fact is men were being named and shamed. An ex of mine who's a twin, his twin posts on social media and speaks about a conversation that he had with a friend of his. And the friend of theirs, the friend of the twins, was commending the twins for being upheld men. And this friend of the twins was telling them, was saying to him, I love the fact that you guys were never involved in any of these atrocities that women experience. I love the fact that you were never named or accused. I love the fact that you've always been heralded as respecting women and never just, you know,
decent men.
Decency.
Decent men.
They were being heralded for decency. So the twin of my ex posts this. And immediately I break into tears because I dated the twin and I was a virgin when I dated the twin. And the twin never put me under pressure. He never rushed me.
That's beautiful.
I told him that I wasn't ready and he was a complete gentleman. Mm. So I broke into tears because I was living testimony to what this guy was saying. So I messaged the twin and said, I'm in tears right now because of what your twin has posted about you as my ex. I'm living testimony to this and I'm thanking you today, which was three weeks ago. And I said to him, I'm thanking you today because had you decided to approach my virginity differently, I'd be a very different woman today. Had you taken it by force?
Everything that's happening.
Everything.
It forced everybody kind of to go there individually
so,
for themselves.
So I sent him the message. Then he says to me, Unati, do you mind if I post this? And I say, I said to him, as long as your wife is fine, if you post it, then I'll post it.
Oh, there's a wife.
Come on, Kay. Kay?
It was a long time ago.
So he says, Unati, do you mind if I post this? And I say, as long as we get permission from your wife, if you post it, then I'll post it. His wife, amazing woman, we get along. She says, guys, this makes me proud as your wife because I know you also treated me this way. So I posted. Who were the first people to say, must we thank the men now for treating us like they should?
Women.
And I'm like, no,
you know, they're good people. I just believe they're very bad people.
But also,
there's some more good people than I'd like to think. They're more good people than bad.
Yeah, but also, Biza, for me, I thank people for doing what they're supposed to do. So I say thank you for a great interview.
Absolutely, and for me, like my experiences. Sorry, Gareth. A lot of my experiences have been very positive in the entertainment industry. The people I meet, you know, contrary to what people see and what they read, when we are around each other, you know, there's a lot of. We all know what it's about. We all fighting the same war. We all trying to get there together. We know we're competition, but because everything is so small, this is where
but
we are.
But there is professional respect.
Absolutely. Huh? There's nobody, I've never seen anybody being unprofessional anyway, in any space that I've been in.
You know, the first time I met Bonang, I was at an event. I can't remember what event it was. And you were standing alone. It was my first time not seeing you in a tralala.
Yeah.
You were wearing a black jumpsuit.
Yes.
And I thought, wow. Okay, I felt overdressed because I'm like, why is she wearing a jumpsuit? And I came straight up to her and she was standing alone. And I said to her, thank you so much. I don't know if you know this, but you inspired me to up my game. I came into this industry thinking it was just about talent. Mm. And I watched you. I watched you and I saw how you took your image so seriously. And I never took my image seriously from day one. I just thought, I'm just a fucking good presenter. So I'm just going to... No, for real. And because of Bonang, I actually started focusing more on my style. But I'm not a fashionista, so I had to. I have a team now. I have a stylist.
Yeah,
because it's not what I'm good at.
And you know what? It's so funny. What Cooley taught me growing up. What Cooley taught me growing up.
Was the thing though is I underestimate the impact that I had on the industry.
No, let me tell you, you're an icon, and I think you really, really are. I think you. have
for real.
You really, really are. And that's the problem with our industry. We don't have a place or an occasion or a celebration where we honor the people who have done so much
while they're still alive.
While they're still alive. You know, people like Cooley, who have inspired a lot of how I approach the media, how I do interviews, interacting with her, seeing her, Master Chaba, listening to her, and how she conducts broadcasting. Unati, her whole entire career is a template of mine. So, but where will my daughter go to read about Unati? Where will my daughter go to read about Gareth? Well,
luckily, the truth.
Luckily, we've got the internet now, guys.
No, I mean, the truth, babe. The internet says I'm 36.
I just... So yes. Own it,
Kay, because the internet says I'm fucking 65.
Babe, okay, then I'm 25.
Then Unati Benjamin,
I'm 25-year-old daughter. I've got a 25-year-old daughter. How am I 36?
All right, please stop abusing my microphone.
I apologize. So nice.
All right, now, I just want to go back to something that I thought was really beautiful, what Unati said earlier and what Bonang backed up as well about these... There are a lot of good guys out there, because I think what we tend to do is...
There are a lot of amazing men.
We hear some negative stuff. You've got a son who I know is the sweetest child in the world. Right?
He loves you.
And you want him to grow up and not think that he's entering a world where all these beasts exist.
Yeah.
Because
there are examples of good men.
And may I say, because he's raised by a tremendous man.
Yes.
His father is a better parent than I am. His father teaches me how to be a better mother. And we've had these conversations. Because you're like, Catherine was like, how the fuck do you like raise kids?
But how the fuck do you and Thomas raise kids? As much as you may laugh right now, you are teaching black women to appreciate their ex-husbands.
Stop shouting. Thank
you. I apologize. She's passionate. It's her brother.
I was actually about to say, Unati, thank you so much.
But she's passionate because it's her brother.
No, but thank you for that.
Because
when we praise our ex-husbands or our baby daddies, I was once dragged on Twitter. Oh yeah, these two are fucking. You know, and I felt like that was so I felt like that was so inappropriate. But why can't we celebrate our men? I'm not a single mother because I have amazing men who help me raise my kids. So shout out to Mfundo Ntibande. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I've also had very prominent and very wonderful men who have helped me in my career. You know, from the very beginning, Paul Viv, Andile Ngube, Leo Mana, you know, the late DJ Monde, Canthan Pillay at YFM. Mm. There are a lot at Sylvester Chowke. There are a lot of people who don't go, you know, we don't notice them because the world is so evil and all of that. But everywhere I've been,
and mostly because they don't want to be credited, which makes them even more special.
Greg Maloka is another one.
Yeah,
he's the shit.
Yeah, no, Greg Maloka is another one.
He's the shit, Greg Maloka.
It's time for the big reveal. I mean, I actually invited all four of you here. You're all single. We're all going to my house afterwards. Just the five of us.
No, you're too buff.
Little party.
No, you're too buff.
You promised me the grand.
No.
You know, grand, he did.
Do you have jungle fever?
I've never done.
Go to the grand.
Yes. No, he does. Gareth and I were supposed to date before Thomas.
I will not lie to you.
We were supposed to date.
Huge crush on this girl.
Thomas literally was like,
I don't want to lie, Gareth. At one point, I actually thought you were a racist.
What?
Well, a lot of people did.
I really did.
So back to the grand story. Gareth was supposed to take me to the grand because I said to him, "Gee, I said I've only had one stripper
experience,
and it was Malash, and it wasn't great.
Malash would never be great.
Coco, one of my best friends.
I think
She's left, but she took me there, and it just wasn't a great experience. There was just like stuff on the floor. I went to Malasha. It was, and it was.
You walk out of the window.
Literally. That's why we're family. So Gareth, you promised me the grand, right?
We'll do it.
And then we cancelled our date. That's fine because the other two couldn't make it.
You're a single woman now.
And then I ended up going. You know, my first strip joint. I went to a 3-story strip joint in Lagos.
Nice.
Yours.
The best strip club I've ever seen.
Oh. The last time I went to a strip club, I was literally...
Bonang's mouthing. I want to go. Take me with you. I want to go. 3-story strip club.
I want to go as well.
It was the best.
All right.
The last time I went to a strip club, I saw Robert Marat walking out wearing a hat.
I can't even. You listen to you four. You're like you're talking all over each other. All right. I need to finish off with some closing comments.
No, Makula, you're not wearing underwear. Can you pull your dress down?
What we wanted to do is I wanted to have the kind of conversation we've had tonight. Let people know what sort of conversation might happen if they ever were lucky enough to stumble upon a table where the four of you were sitting.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've really got to know all of you. Even though I knew most of you before this, I feel like I've learned a whole lot of things this evening. And I feel also that you've all learned a bit about each other. Because you didn't know that, most of the stuff. You haven't had these conversations before. So just closing remarks on, you know, the future, how you're feeling about your own career, how you feel about the media business going forward, the opportunities you're making and that are being made around you. Give me your ideas.
The future, opening up the industry is also the people's responsibility, not the people in Johannesburg only, but the people around South Africa. The opening up the industry entails people in Durban. Well, we're doing a very good job with that Zuma daughter, Soapy. People in Cape Town should be doing the same thing. People in East London. Open up the industry means not just Johannesburg. And then also, in terms of this industry, remember that you're a freelancer. So save. If you get like 3 million, save most of it, because, you know, there'll be a day that you get 3 rand. Yeah. So that when something happens to your show, you can have money put away. Yep. And also what you do as well, you get a bond. You buy a house. Either buy it cash. If you can't buy it cash, while you've got the money, pay like triple the bond. So that when you have a quiet time, you can be okay.
She's always taught me that. So you always literally taught me that for 20 years.
Just a guy, yeah.
Pay more on your bond than you need. Literally, as my bigger sister in our family, you've always taught me that.
So that you have less problems.
So that when the debit orders bounce, the bank stays calm because they know you've paid extra.
Exactly.
Over the years.
I won't get down.
Thank you.
So basically, remember that you are a landuza, a freelancer, and not a flosser. That's your vocation.
Yeah. Master Chava.
Let's operate from a place of love.
Yes.
Let's love ourselves. Let's love one another. And I've had so much love and respect for the women in this room. And I'm sorry that I've not vocalized it to you guys. Okay, I've told some of you in this room. But let's encourage each other, not just as women. I don't believe in creating a greater polarity between males and females. I'm not about gender this or gender that. I'm about unification. I'm about oneness. Let's hold each other together. Let's uplift each other as men and
let's
women.
Let's be honest, though, as well.
No, for sure. But let's treat crime as crime.
Yes.
Let's isolate criminality.
Yes.
Let's isolate incidences that require to be isolated. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we are a beautiful race. We are the human race. We need to hold each other up. There is one figure who is no more, who encapsulated that so well, and his name is Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, for me, is the only icon who has successfully united black people, white people, men, females.
Children.
And we don't have that anymore. So I'm not for the hashtags of men are trash. I'm not for the discrimination against men or women. I am for justice and I stand for truth. Let's be about that.
That's beautiful. We're not.
Is this where I'm supposed to say something profound?
Come on. You want me to play some music in the background?
Violin.
For me, mine is very simple. And I say the same thing every single time I finish speaking. If your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough.
What if you don't have any dreams?
Then you're the walking dead.
Go back
dead.
To sleep.
Then you're the walking dead. And
go back to sleep.
We just, why are we wasting time on you?
Okay. Okay.
If your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Wow.
Right?
Yes. No, completely.
Because then it forces you to take yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
It forces you to stop expecting different results. Meanwhile, you're doing the same shit. It forces you to be bigger. It forces you to give bigger. It forces you to understand that your purpose is bigger than your little ego.
Absolutely.
I like that.
So that's why I always say, if your dreams don't scare you,
They're not big enough.
That's all I say.
Did you always want to be Bonang?
I didn't, not really. I just wanted to be a presenter. That's all I wanted to do. But, you know, I feel like we are, you know, the entertainment industry where it is right now, we can't really complain about something not progressing if we aren't progressing ourselves. We can't complain about not being great or not being able to stand side by side with the likes of Nigeria or Kenya or Ghana, whatever it is, if we don't, if we're not pushing ourselves. You know, I think it is our own responsibility to make the entertainment industry wonderful. We need to find the greatness within ourselves. We need to find iconic moments. We need to create iconic moments. Mm. We need to say thank you to our icons, number one. But I also think, you know, in general, there needs to be a general consensus to say, if you're not good, we're not going to celebrate you. South Africans need to get to a point, and I know they know the difference between great and not so great. And I need us to get to a point, they do. Every single consumer does.
Okay.
And that's the thing, we've underestimated the people who take
channels
in.
Channels underestimate radio listeners.
They underestimate people who watch television. They don't think these people don't have access to what happens in America. South Africans know when a shit show is a shit show. South Africans know when you are half-assed. South Africans know when this could have been better.
Yeah.
South Africans know.
But also South Africans are fucking passive as well, because
do
we still allow for the same shit shows to dominate our channels?
Do you know why? Because we mistake humility with mediocrity. It's not even so long, okay? We are 1994 young. So because humility has been part of our socialization, right?
Ubuntu,
I am because of you.
Oh.
So because we've been socialized to be humble.
We're not critical enough.
We're not critical enough. And that's why we accept mediocrity in the name of humility. And in the words of Manang and Maschab and Kooli Roberts and Gareth Cliff, we need to separate the two.
Yeah.
Humility is very different to mediocrity.
Yes.
We can be humble in our excellence.
Absolutely. South Africans deserve the best. They know the best. They know they're not getting the best. So what is actually happening?
It's that socialization on how dare you demand for more. How dare you, knowing what you've come from.
And hence,
the mediocrity.
Remember what happened to generations where one of them stood up and said, okay, we deserve
and
more.
And then 18 of them left
and then they recreated a sub.
So that's what happens. People don't speak up because they
mediocrity. Because we're celebrating mediocrity.
Exactly. We're accepting poverty and celebrating mediocrity because of the poverty mentality.
Absolutely. I know when someone brings up generations, it's time to call it.
Oh. And on my phone, it's 2121, so it's a double.
Great.
Peace and have a Cliff Central.
Like 11-11. It's a blessing.
Peace and have a Cliff Central pillow.
She's going to take it anyway, so don't even answer her.
I think she'll smuggle it, it's fine.
Thank you.
All right, ladies.
Next time we're here, can we talk about how Kooli is a hoarder?
Thank you very much.
I'm glad you added
I'm not coming to your house. I can't handle hoarders.
Nana, I've got about 30 of these.
Oh, my God.
You're coming to my house.
Oh, geez. All right.
She is. You're coming to my house.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to spend time with you, to hear some of your stories, to see and hear you get along and share things. I hope this is the beginning of many more exciting conversations. We're going to carry these on. Big thank you to the people at Windhoek. Thank you to all the team here who made this
happen. I lived in Windhoek for like 4 years. So thank you, Windhoek.
Those insects.
I lived in Windhoek for four years.
Ladies.
So thank you, Windhoek. So maybe, Windhoek, you must take me to Windhoek to shoot a media music video.
And those black women.
Can you see that black?
Coco, my business manager.
I'm sure the client loves this. But ladies, let's give the man his closing, please.
Thank you all very much.
No, why should I give him my clothes?
Imagine how hot this been now.
What are you talking about?
The men from Windhoek.
Thank you, Gareth. And kudos to you. I think these conversations are very important.
Exactly.
The timing is impeccable. And I love that it's going to shake up people's minds and brains. And hopefully the right people get to hear what we the people who are actually working in the industry are complaining about, and hopefully it will change, you know, for the future generation that's going to come after this.
And thank you for not editing us. Thank you for limiting us. Thank you for giving us carte blanche.
We are changing.
Thank you very much, Gareth. People think that we don't like each other. We love each other.
We actually do.
I never had problems with you.
No, but in general, the
and you said
listening.
It. You literally Gareth. Said it. Like Gareth said, literally, when the four of us walked in, he literally said, he looked at the three of us, and then he looked at Kuli and he said, Kuli, you're the only one I'm worried about.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Gareth. CliffCentral.com.